Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And joining me in the studio this morning to talk about an upcoming event, I guess it's this Friday, December 2nd, 6 p.m., Uncorked and Unreserved, our Bob Menninger. He's the director of the Sitka Historical Museum. John Stein, president of the board of the Sitka
Correct.
Historical
Good morning,
Society. Good morning. And Jackie Fernandez, the curator of the Sitka Historical Museum. And I guess, Jackie, you drew the short straw, and you're the one who's got to tell us about all the incredible stuff happening at Friday's event, because the lineup is amazing, really.
Well, thanks, Robert. We're really happy to be here this morning. And we've got quite the event coming up for you this Friday, December 2nd at 6 p.m. at the Westmark. It's Uncorked and Unreserved, and it's going to be a wine tasting unlike any that you've been to in Sitka, or anywhere else probably for that matter. We're really excited about it. We'll have the wine tasting, which we do every year with unlimited wine, and the silent auction as well. But after the wine tasting and silent auction, we're going to have two live bands performing, which is something that's a little bit new for us. And aside from that, we're going to have some delicious Mediterranean and Spanish tapas prepared by Chef Randy at the Westmark, including paella, prawn and bacon brochette, and tapenade, and a few more traditional hors d'oeuvres. And there'll be a lot of great flavors from the old world, some Spanish influences, so really tasty food. The two bands will be going on at 8:30 p.m., so if you can only make it to the show, definitely come see us at 8:30. And you can get your tickets at the door at Old Harbor Books, House of Liquor, Westmark, and at Lakeside this Wednesday from 4 until 7 p.m. I'll be sitting at a table at the market selling some tickets, so come by and see us then. They are limited. The music that I mentioned earlier will really be something fantastic. We've got Slacktide performing starting at 8:30 p.m., and they'll be playing some Woodstock-era music. And at 10 p.m., Pretty Swell Demonstration featuring members from the Glorious Youth Parade, along with some special guests, will start playing. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You can find out more about the event on our new Facebook page. We've moved in the 21st century. We now have our own Facebook page. Really okay. Exciting stuff. And also on our website, sitkahistory.org. I'll let Bob tell you about some of our great silent auction pieces.
Okay, but I just want to clarify that you're not having a chamber orchestra. It's not a violin playing. You're having rock and roll bands.
Yes,
essentially. Yeah.
Okay, and it's a Woodstock.
The first show is okay. Woodstock era. The second show, they're going to be playing some of their own original music, so it's going to be something really different. A lot of folks in town have seen Glorious Youth Parade at the Channel Club and other places, so they can expect sort of more of that mode of music.
Should people, like, wear tie-dye and bandanas and
stuff?
You
can. No. I was going to have a contest, and I was outvoted on that show.
The answer is no.
I sense there was some dissent here over whether you would tip that far into the Woodstock era.
Well, you know, I'm one of those boomers. I'm one of that age, and there's lots of folks in town. Jimmy, Janis, the Beatles, the Who, the Stones, the Dead. Yeah, it's going to be fun, so I'm looking forward. Now, by the way, we didn't mention $35 for the wine tasting ticket gets you the full wine tasting, all those wonderful tapas foods, and both concerts. If you don't want to do the wine tasting but want to come later to the concerts, they're $15 tickets at the door. So the concert tickets are not on sale ahead of time.
Okay.
So they're at the door.
Well, just as a compromise, I suggest that come dress nicely and then just hold up your iPhone with your candle app. And you can, your lighter app,
and
you
can
wave it while those guys are
playing. Silent auction items.
Yeah, what's up? What's on the
Dale
docket?
Dale DeArmond print donated from Bill DeArmond, framed nicely. That'll be available. Some artworks, some rare books, really cool ones. Mr. Foster dropped some off the other day. We some brand new native art, beautiful stuff we'll have on. And then probably one of the more unique items, we have a 1940s or 30s era oil stove, huge oil stove from the old gold mines at the end of Silver Bay.
And this is a cooking range, right?
Yeah,
giant. It's a cooking stove.
It's really giant.
Functioning?
So if you're looking for something to heat up, a stove.
Yeah, a working?
It's working, yeah.
Okay.
It may need a little bit of work, but it doesn't quite fit our collections. And we are, by the way, looking for additional silent auction items. If anybody's interested in helping us out with some antiques or rare books or art or prints or something cool, just contact the museum this week and come on down.
Okay, and the silent auction is something people should probably look at when they first walk in the door?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It'll be available at 5:30 if people want to come in. We'll have doors open at 5:30, and it'll run till 7:30 when we'll close down the bids. But the tasting will go on till 8, and then music at 8:30.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, live music. Joe Mantegna will be playing acoustic music during the wine tasting, and of course he's also the lead on Slack Time.
All right, so it sounds like an incredible lineup of food and entertainment and some incredible auction items, but it's all to an end. This is a major fundraiser for the museum, and
right,
this is
the biggest one of the year for the society.
And you guys have some big plans.
We do, and I think Bob can run over the details, but one of the points I wanted to bring out this morning is that we have an opportunity with the expansion of the or upgrading of the Centennial Building to expand the museum. And right now we're at about 2,000 square feet, and we're looking to put in about 6,000 square feet so we can really improve and make the museum a significant institution here, not only for our community preservation of history, but as an economic force, because museums and cultural tourism are really big. So it's important, and I think that supporting the project, we're really pleased to have the assembly pretty much on board. They unanimously supported our request to the legislature this year for some capital money, and the angst we're going through right now, Bob can get into, is providing ongoing support to operate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I have seen the plans for the Centennial Building area makeover, and the historical museum has been given a sort of a new building adjacent to the sort of attached but alongside the Centennial Building. Mm-hmm. How far do you have to go to make that a reality?
Well, it's all part of a comprehensive planning going on the Centennial footprint, from the library to Centennial's renovation, and the museum, of course, is in the middle of all of it. We've been in Centennial since 1970. We've been in operation as a society since 1957, and our home has always been within Centennial, but it has not been dedicated museum space. It's just been meeting rooms that we kind of assumed control over in this partnership with the city, who have funded our location and our operations for many, many years. And with Centennial's renovation, needing more space for conventions, visitor space, the broad view is if we had us out of that space and into this new museum, it benefits everybody. So our hope is, we are not funded. There's no capital money yet for us. However, as John said, the Assembly approved a request to the legislature this year for $4.1 million. The wing would be off to the east a bit, up the coastline there a little bit, along the parking lot. And the visitor center would have some space in there. We'd partner with them. The committee that we have that's working on this is organized by 4-Acre, funded by Rasmussen's pre-development program. We've had two meetings. We were supposed to meet tonight, and those of you that might have wanted to go to that meeting, that has been postponed for 1 week. And that committee includes Mike Reif, an assembly member, Michael Harmon from the city, Marilyn Knapp, a retired curator, three of our board members, including John, Tanya Rio, let's see, who am I missing? And myself, Scott Carley from the State Museum, Jeff Felpotch representing the tribe, and then Mary Pat Wyatt's the museum consultant, and then the head of it all is Martha Schoenfield from 4-Acre, very, very competent, who's been working with the library folks too. So this group is kind of working through planning this thing, making sure that whatever we come up with, one, the community is going to be proud of it, it'll meet museum standards, and we can afford it.
And $4.1 million, is that enough? Or is there going to have to be fundraising outside of this capital request, assuming the white knight came riding in and you got the $4.1
million? That's a good point, Rob. Yeah, that as of right now, the committee work, by the way, which is all available on our website, if people want to go look at our agendas and our meeting notes and all that, sitkahistory.org. But as of right now, that amount should, we think, come close to building the building. But exhibits are very expensive, and we're going to do world-class exhibits in our permanent exhibit area, and that will take some fundraising, and that's where Rasmussen could be very, very helpful themselves, and they help us with other foundations, and we may try to raise some money here locally. But that's all very early in our planning, but that's kind of the direction that's going, and it won't be long. We're going to start asking for some public input on some of our exhibits. We're not quite there yet, but before long, that's going to be the fun part.
Yeah, I guess you sort of, when you think about this, you have to plan, you know, you're planning the future of an already operating museum. Last time I had you guys here, Jackie, you were showing this me some examples of this incredible Dale DeArmond collection that had come in. What is storage like at the Sitka Historical Museum now? Are you bursting at the seams? Is stuff spread all over town? How are you doing it?
I wouldn't say we're exactly bursting at the seams. Things are well organized, but we are using three different storage locations, and it makes it a little bit more of a challenge to get the work done and to get the database entry, take photographs, and it's not the best to be moving collections around. We obviously don't have a special vehicle that we can use, so we just sort of move things very carefully. But it is definitely a challenge, and because we are getting wonderful new additions to our collection and just about every other week, we are going to reach our capacity sooner than later. We're growing dramatically. We've grown a lot just since I've been here in the past year. We received about 300 black and white photographs of the mill site, Blue Lake Dam site, dating back to the 1950s about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And more recently, we got a wonderful cuspidor spittoon that was found out at Old Sitka. It has a Russian seal on the bottom, and it's made out of brass. It's really a neat piece, one of the more interesting ones that we've gotten in this year. And the day before Thanksgiving, around 3 o'clock, a wonderful gentleman came in to meet with me and brought a World War II-era military-issued compass, big brass compass that he had on his boat years ago, and it sits inside of this beautiful wooden case that has hand inlaid wood at the top in little diamond shapes. It's really a stunning piece. So those are just a few examples. Sometimes people come in or make an appointment and they bring only one or two things. Other times it's a few hundred photographs or a whole mix of photos and also three-dimensional objects. And in order for us to be able to tell the story of Sitka, we don't want to turn away wonderful pieces. So more space would really help us do a better job telling the story and sharing that with the community.
It's kind of the catch-22 right. of museums. The better job you do, the more...
The more comes to you.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate to have additional help, too, on the board of directors. Linda Treschold and Karen Christner have recently joined our group, and they bring a lot of talent. And we hope to support Bob and Jackie in their efforts here. The professionalism and meeting standards is now the key to the museum's operation. We support that.
Yeah, and I mean, let's just not beat around the bush. Sitka is one of those places where it seems like history and preserving our historical resources is going to get the attention of movers and shakers in the town.
It's amazing. Of all the West Coast, Sitka and the things that have happened here, and our mission start to finish, pre-contact human history till today. That's what we do.
All right. Well, the wine tasting and auction, it's called Uncorked and Unreserved. It's happening this Friday, December 2nd, 6 to 8 p.m. in the at the Westmark in the Raven Room. Spanish tapas and hors d'oeuvres by Chef Randy.
Yep.
And an incredible lineup of music. Joe Montana playing guitar. And then some Woodstock era stuff from Slack Tide. And then Glorious Youth Parade is going to be playing at 10 o'clock with a pretty swell demonstration. That's probably worth the price of admission right there,
right.
Just to see what they might be cooking up. But tickets are available. Jackie, you're going to be selling them when?
I'll be selling them this Wednesday at a table at Lakeside. So come by if you're doing grocery shopping. Come by if you're not and buy a ticket anyway.
Okay. And elsewhere, Bob, tickets can be picked up?
Old Harbor Books, as usual. We appreciate that. House of Liquor, the Westmark Front Desk, and the museum.
All right. Thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Bob
Menninger is director of the Sitka Historical Museum. John Stein is the new president of the board, and Jackie Fernandez is the curator.